Right. got a house.
You've been better than good to us. You've been
better in your house.
Better than good to us.
You have been put out of full blown alone. You ought to be grateful that you were able to make peace. Amen. You know, the pandemic, so many people couldn't make peace. They don't know it once the legal part is up where you don't have to pay rent. They don't even know where they're going to go. But God has allowed you to keep making your home payment. Amen. You own time. You ought to be thankful that God is that good. You believe it. Amen. Nothing. If there's nothing else, y'all just be thankful to be saved.
Amen.
We've been blessed by reading, hearing God's word. will even be greater.
Amen.
I want to talk from the subject of today. The church gets into good trouble. The church gets into good trouble.
All right.
Now, if some of you are familiar with that term, good trouble, it was coined by Congressman John Lewis, I think when they made their first trip on what we call a Bloody Sunday, when they were crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and he said, let's go get in some good trouble. And they did trip for good trouble. Amen. But in the end, righteousness prevailed. And he just talked, he talked about some things like when you think about the five things, things that go on, that good trouble, I can't remember all five. But one said, vote always. And then it says, speak truth, the power. Then it says, this is one for the youth, you're never too young to make a difference. And then never give up. And when you do those things, amen, the trouble you get in can be said to be good trouble. Now, I'm going to look at this. You know, last week we talked about, amen, the problem with potential. And I told you, if you have potential, if the enemy sees in you what God sees in you, the impact and the influence that you can have for the kingdom, if the enemy sees how powerful you are in the kingdom of God because of your impact and influence, amen, he will try to sift you or separate you from your faith in order that you won't be such a powerful weapon in the kingdom of God. We went through that. Now today I'm kind of along that same strain. But last week I was kind of focusing on the individual. Today I want to focus on the corporate group. Not on the individual, but on the corporate group. Amen. Because a corporate group can, especially the church, because Jesus has already said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, he sees, in that statement, you see the power that God has given in his church. And because the church is such a powerful corporate community, because it's such a powerful corporate community, the enemy is out to stop the church.
Amen.
That's what we see. Now, let me get to that later. Listen, when our text starts, let's go back. It starts off talking about Saul. Everybody see it in verse 1 where it talks about Saul was succeeding to his death. Saul was succeeding to his death. Now, you don't understand what it's talking about unless you go back to chapter 7. In chapter 7, you'll find Stephen is being stoned. So it's saying when Stephen is being stoned, Paul is urging the stoners on. He's urging the crowd on that's stoning Stephen. And you know, Stephen, who was young and had potential, and was a blessing to the kingdom of God, died being stoned because he wouldn't stop teaching what God told him to teach.
Right, sure.
What he had been commissioned to teach. He said, I'd rather die. Amen. Than stop teaching what God would have me to teach. And when you look through the Acts, that's one of the most amazing things, that so many were willing to be beaten and tortured and roughed up and even die because and he rose again. Amen. He died for our sins and he rose again. And they were even willing to put their life online to preach that. Because, and that's one of the things that's so convincing. That's such a area of convincing evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Because you see people, amen, his followers, willing to give up their life based upon the fact that he rose again.
Right. Yes.
Now, most people in their right mind are not going to give their life for a lie.
Yes, sir.
One time you say, now, hey, you've been carrying along the story, amen, and telling everybody that story, and you come down to the point where somebody say, hey, you need to tell the truth, or you're going to die. One time you're going to come around and tell the truth.
Right, right,
so I can leave. But all the apostles and all the followers, they could not, amen, go back on what they said because they had actually seen the risen Christ for themselves. Amen. We see, we felt, amen. We ain't with it. He called us from the shower when we're fishing. We know this is the truth. We can't back up on this. We saw when he ascended into heaven. And he's coming back again. And we got to stand before him. So, because of what man do for us, we got to continue to preach his message. Because this is the only message that saves. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen. Amen.
So they continued to preach that message. And Stephen died. And that's what it's talking about in this very verse. That as he was being put to death, Saul, who was the leader, we know him as Paul, they're wrong. Saul was the leader. He was consistent. Okay, y'all going to do it because he had the power, because he had the authority to stop it. But he didn't stop it. He encouraged it into the world. Okay, right there. Everybody kind of caught up where we're in the story. And what actually, if you look at it, what happened to Stephen is Stephen got in good trouble.
Right, yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So often our Christianity today talks about we live apart out. But sometimes you got to suffer for your faith.
Amen.
I'm not all about it. I'm not all with this prosperity gospel. It all it is when you come visiting, you bless, and God blesses you with everything, and you don't have no trouble, and you got all the money you can want, and cars. I'm not with that, because sometimes when you're a believer and you're a follower of Christ, it's called the sacrifice and suffering, and sometimes even the death. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Shall have everlasting life. It did not say shall have great health always.
Right.
It didn't say shall have a great bank account. It didn't say shall have no problems in their life. Didn't say family won't struggle then. Split up won't happen. But it did say whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Amen. So, and that has, when you think about that everlasting life, life being a connection with God, he said, whatever happened, I'm going to be there with you. You don't have to worry about that. Whatever happened, I'm there with you. We got a connection. They can't be broken.
Amen. Yeah.
So he'll be with you, but you won't. Most of us will have to suffer at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get that in mind. We get laid off.
Amen.
We get fired.
Amen.
We get sick.
Amen.
We go to the hospital. Amen.
Sure.
Sometimes we can't make ends.
Amen.
But God still brings us through.
Amen. Amen.
He brings us through. He never failed us yet. Never failed us yet. Listen. So listen. And Stephen was willing to give his life. But I like what happened when Stephen died. He said, he looked up and saw Jesus standing.
Y'all
remember that? Read 7 when you get home.
Right,
read chapter 7.
Right.
He looked up and saw Jesus standing.
Right.
Now, most times we read in the Bible, he said he sat on the right hand of the Father.
Right.
But Peter's faithfulness so impressed Jesus. Jesus gave Peter standing opportunity. I like that. Don't you want Jesus to give you a standing opportunity? This is verse 2. At that time, I'll get toward verse 2. I said that now Saul was concerned that they, at that time, when persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Wait a minute. Listen here, y'all. Look, don't miss that. If you look at Acts chapter 2, at the end, that's when they had one accord, and they were having great fellowship, and they were breaking bread together, and everybody had everything in common. Oh, it was kind of good, even though they were, because they're together. You know, it was a joy in that fellowship, the fellowship they had. And a lot of times, when you enjoy being together, fellowshipping, and having everything you need, the church looking out for one another, you know, even though they were going through a struggle on the outside, on the inside, they were doing pretty good. And a lot of times when you're doing pretty good, you won't do the greater good. Because Jesus had commanded them, wait for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost.
Right.
Now they're still in Jerusalem.
Right.
Having fellowship.
Right.
In the word, breaking bread together, sharing everything together. Hey, it's good. And it can't, I pray because it's still suffering persecution. But yet they enjoy being together. So they have fulfilled what Jesus told them to fulfill. They still hanging out together in Jerusalem. But when the persecution comes, let me see if I put this up last week. When the sifting,
right. Okay.
When the sifting comes, when the trouble
right.
Came, of them people getting killed and Saul going in the house, somebody wrecked out. He just going in folk house, dragging people out, dragging husbands and wives, kids out, causing all kinds of problems for the family. When this happened, it said they scattered.
Yeah.
Now, before the problem came, before the trouble came, they were just good, hanging out, fellowship. When nobody going to Judea, when nobody going to Samaria, everybody going around Samaria. And they sure weren't going to the other parts of the world. But then the sifting came. And the trouble caused them to spread out. And now listen. God tell you this last week why I'm bringing this in this week. I told you when the sifting come. But you see, sifting has, there's two different things that go on when you're being sifted. The enemy has a purpose. And God has a purpose.
Amen. Amen.
The enemy's purpose is to separate you
right.
For your faith.
Right.
Make you throw in the towel. Make you give up on God.
Right.
God's purpose
come on now.
Is, amen, to make you throw in the towel, but not in the towel as far as God is concerned, to make you throw the towel as far as you can do it on your own.
Right, right.
God, I want you to throw the towel too, just like the enemy. But I want you to throw the towel on me and on your faith. Throw in the towel on the faith that you have in yourself without me.
Right.
That's what you just throw in. Throw in trying to do it on your own. In your own strength. Throw in that time. But still trust me.
Yes.
So here, in this case, when the persecution comes, when the trouble comes, the enemy wants to stop the church because, you know, if the church keeps going, the church that Jesus is building, he can't prevail against it. He can't win against it. Victory has already been, is already ours, as the song says. But You don't get, see, the enemy didn't get out of it when he thought he was going to get out of it. He thought he was going to stop it. But instead, he gave it, actually, he motivated him to be great. I think about that. I think about that even for the first example I gave about the John Lewis on the Ever Credit Bridge, you know, I think they started out with something like 600 to 800. And that's when they got, you know, all beat up and blooded up. And I think he had to go to the hospital. And the enemy thought they had stopped. But actually, after they went back, they regrouped. The last group was many thousands. If you just let the 600 to 800 alone, it may not have been, but if you're trying to stop the 600 to 800, amen, the final group was several, I think they say, 1,000. God does things like that. And this is what I want to bring. This is my big point for today. As a church, we won't get back to the old norm. Y'all with me?
All right.
Yeah, it's gonna be like it used to be.
All right.
The old norm is gone. Okay. Amen. Some folks are not even gonna come back.
Okay.
Some folks probably stay on the podcast. Amen. This is on the live stream.
Okay.
We realize that. Okay. But that's okay. Because we're reaching people.
Amen.
On the podcast and on the live stream, they couldn't come anyway. Amen. But we're reaching people, like I said, in Canada and in South Africa and in the Sudan and places that we never thought we would reach people, but they listen to us on the podcast. And this is what all people miss this on podcast. That's okay, because even if they're sick, they can still, amen.
Right.
I can't come to church. They can still experience. And we'll always try to keep it. If we're going to keep it on that station we're on now, we'll have it coming through the website where people can experience that outside. We won't go back to normal.
Amen.
Not the old one. But there's a next normal.
Right.
There's a next norm I want to tell you about.
All right, let's see.
See, the church, they didn't go back to norm. They didn't go back where they stayed in Jerusalem. They went to the next norm where it spread out and went to Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the world. Now, listen here. Jesus had already told them before he left what was going to happen. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall be my witnesses. Andrew, Judas, Mary, to their own part of the world. But they hadn't been yet to them. Kept the shape up a little bit.
Right.
Because they were too comfortable.
Exactly.
They were real comfortable when they were there sharing, fellowshipping, talking about the Bible, talking about Jesus. But then when folks started getting their heads cut off.
Right.
Yeah. They started getting stoned to death. The thing that they wouldn't do because Jesus said they wouldn't have did it because pain came into the situation.
Amen.
Listen. You know, for a long time, the pastor was talking about, I'm preaching to me too, hey, y'all, I'm preaching to me more than anybody. I told you I'd be last few Sundays, but I'm always preaching to me. Because I got, you know, that's why I told you, that's why God made me a pastor and a preacher. Because, you know, I was so messed up. And therefore, every time I prepare a sermon for you, I have to preach to me first. So that yes, you should fail. Amen. Because if I have to preach to you, I may not come from all the stuff that I come from.
Right.
But he knows I need everything that he got. So they might come in. But listen. I have been talking to y'all about discipleship. When we go to our vision,
right. Our
vision is all about making disciples.
Right.
Who make a disciple.
Right.
You know, I talked to y'all about this. I said this, y'all. We got to do some things because people don't want to come to church. But you know some neighbors,
right.
Some friends,
right.
Some co-workers of yours. And y'all can just, hey, if you in Rome Bay, you got some neighbors in Rome Bay, you got some friends in Rome Bay, hey man, you got some co-workers in Rome Bay. You know, they might have to come to the church at first. You get your little group.
Right.
Say, they come to your house, come to your friend, and give them some soda. I thought they'd give them a drink, but I won't tell them. give them your soul Kool-Aid. Amen. Little cookies and snacks. If you good cook, amen. You know, cook something real good. Hey, we're gonna meet maybe once a month, a couple times a month. Because that's the way.
Come on.
Amen. So you have a group of Rollback. You have a group of T. Group of Fairfield. Amen. Group of all and Mahal. In all these different times. So even if we came to a situation like we did where we couldn't meet
right.
at the church.
Right.
You could still, the church could still be doing its ministry because you can bring 5 or 6 people out in the backyard.
Right.
Amen. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all ain't
business. Amen. Amen.
You can bring 5 or 6 people out in the backyard. Spread them out. You got pretty, most of y'all got pretty good backyard. Some of y'all got acreage. Then we have to meet up together. Put them 5, 6, 7 chairs down your backyard. Get the Bible. If you need a Bible study, the Bible send them to you. Hey, have the people spread out. Have a Bible study. From learning about Jesus right there.
Amen.
Thank God. One of the things he's doing with this pandemic. One of the things he's doing, because he can work things together for good. One of the things he's doing with this family is he's showing it is not all about the church.
Amen.
Building.
Right.
Amen.
Church outside.
Come on. Amen. I've been trying to tell you like Jesus told me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Wow. I'm telling myself that too. Amen. Because there's people that we have neighbors and friends that live in Ireland. And we just say, y'all, come on over to the house. Come out in the backyard. Amen. And get something together. Put that time spread out. We all have to do that. So, and then we'll just come to this central place. You know, once a week. But most of the men, see, let me just what I'm saying. We invest most of our time and our energy and our everything into the Sunday morning gathering. You want to have your own group. And you didn't go back to the handout. been trying for a long time. And I'm actually, I'm talking to me too. Because we all have to take this step.
Amen.
That's the next normal I'm trying to get us to. Amen. Listen. A lot of times, we do this because of how we spell or how we measure our success. How churches measure their success. Now, this is the way most churches measure their success. Bodies.
Right, bodies.
How many bodies we got?
Right.
Oh, we got 100 bodies.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. So there's the Golden Gate.
Right, they got bodies.
Golden Gate is a really big memorial. They could have 100 bodies.
Right.
We got 100 bodies, so there's Golden Gate probably got 100 bodies. Amen. But they do quite a few funerals a week. And they're really big. So most of them, oh, we got 100 bodies, 50 bodies, 150, and we are measuring. You know, most churches don't have 25 bodies. We got 60 bodies. So we think, oh, we're doing pretty good. Because that's what we measure. By the second way we do it, it went bucks.
Yeah.
If we ain't got the body, well, we got the bucks. Look how much bucks we got and how much money we got in the bank. And we'll measure and say, oh, we're doing good because we got the body and we got the bucks. And then third, if you got the body, you got the bucks. Oh, Lord, don't be blessed with the bills. But if you got the body, the books, and the building,
right, amen.
You really think you got it going on,
man. Yeah, ain't got nothing going on. Yeah.
Because we are measuring our success by the wrong thing.
You're right, preacher. You're right.
Because he said, and be my witness, and he said in Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, go make disciples of all nations. Amen. Go make disciples. He didn't say go make dollars. He didn't say go make
Right,
amen. We all take money to function, but that's not our principal
concern. Don't measure our
success without that. Amen. See, we want to be disciples that make disciples. See, look at this. It's not, when we're going to measure, we can't measure by what comes in. It's not a good measurement of the church. A good measurement of the church is by what goes out.
Amen.
Did y'all miss that? Don't measure the quality of a church's work by what comes in.
Money comes in,
people come in. No, how many people do we have who are setting up and going out and making disciples in the restaurant, in your neighborhood, in your backyard, with your friends, on the phone, rendering gospel, having gathering when you're reaching out and teaching and encouraging and sharing the word of God and inviting people into your life where you can model for them how the Christian life is supposed to go and then explain how you got where you are.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Now let's make ourselves like that.
Yeah, and see
where we at.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, preacher.
When I measure it like that, we got a long way to go.
Lord have mercy.
No wonder why he's shaking us up.
Right.
Because he needs us to see we are not where we think we are.
Yeah. We need to be.
We got a long way to go. We got a lot to do.
Yeah, shaking up ain't a bad thing.
Oh, it's always been about Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a great time on Sunday morning. But it can't be all.
Yes.
It can't be the all in all.
Yeah.
The reason why it's been all in all because it's that way you get the body, the bus, and the building is on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
right.
No impact.
So that's where your energy go to. All your energy. All your time.
Yeah. Amen.
Everything goes into Sunday morning. I'm trying to tell you, we need to invest beyond the bills.
Yeah. You're right, sir. You're right.
Amen.
Am I challenging you like I'm challenging me?
Make impact. Amen.
This is what I wanted to do. Everybody you got, I'm hoping and believing in Christ that everybody here that does have at least two or three friends. Oh, Lord, never mind. If they ain't got two or three, just send somebody. neighbors. Hopefully you can build some bridge.
Yeah.
Try to be a bridge for you.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of, you know, at one time we were all out of church, and you had neighbors go to church, you went to church, and your other neighbor on the church, why would y'all get it?
That's real.
Then they just said, hey, let's come together, let's get the Bible. I know we can't make it church, our church closed down, but we can have church right here. We can all get together on Sunday morning. 30 minutes out. Sunday evening, whenever it's gonna be here. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, this is not only time traveling why y'all wouldn't expect it, but I'm trying to challenge you to the next norm.
Right.
That God wants for us. Yeah. God been warning us for a long time, but I think he uses the pandemic to bring it to our attention.
Right.
Because it, when we didn't be here, a lot of people kind of like saw straying away, and those that had issues, the issues got worse. And all the work that they had put into those people, it didn't really give them what they needed.
It wasn't ready.
To deal with the pandemic.
Yeah.
They should have been ready. But they wasn't ready.
Amen.
A lot of them, I'm saying everybody goes, okay, some of y'all really still prospering. Did great things too. But there's a lot that I feel frustrated about because they lost ground. I hate when people lose ground.
Amen.
Like if you're doing so good, then they lose ground. And that's all. That's what people want. So I'm trying to make us into a new kind of church. That's what's going to set us apart.
Amen.
But we don't want to be set apart and say, okay, we better now.
Right.
We want to set the example.
Right. Amen.
Because most times you set an example and it's successful, other folks will follow your example.
That's right.
So we just want to be pioneering in what God is really not a pioneering thing, but way back in Scripture. Everybody that's ever lost it. Listen, that's good. Some people do it. I'm not saying everybody. There's a lot of churches that do it. But there are so many that there are many more that don't do it than the ones that are doing it.
It's
so we gotta spread. He said, once the trouble came, it spread out. The remnant happened once in the one group of people in Jerusalem, and went down with the Judea. Now Jerusalem is like a city. Judea like a county. Think about that.
Okay.
Think about that. Jerusalem like a city. They think about you do it like a camp. So, amen, it's like that. My hair. And then you go to the town. What's going to be? Limestone town.
Yeah.
And then other more parts, when you get outside of limestone town.
Yes.
Freestone. And all other stones.
Right.
So he wanted to go everywhere. So most of us live in the county, so we need to take, he don't expect that to occupy. He wants us to change, sir.
Amen.
I like what the end says, because he said, once they really start doing what they're supposed to do, it said the whole city had joy. Everybody broke out in joy. Y'all see that? That's the end. We can bring joy to Manhattan and all surrounding cities, all surrounding counties. Once the church can bring joy to the world and to the community, once we take up the assignment that God has given us.
Yeah.
That's why I'm challenging. That's why when we had a third generation, why I put almost 2 years pouring into third generation.
Amen.
Because I needed some people that I knew. Amen. And it was open to everybody. I just chose some people. Because the Bible says when the Paul comes to Timothy, choose faithful men. So I look for some faithful people and I invite them to anybody to the change. Amen. It's been equipped. I'm saying, hey, somebody, if what happened in the church where I grew up in, and they said you'd be trained, I'd have been there. Because I was there most of the time for it. But to be trained to help. So that's why we pull at you. And we want you to pull into us. And I'm hearing y'all are doing some of that. And I want more people to get into that. So we can be the church of God. We got to spread. the basketball player just said, hey, coach, spacing is important. I was always practicing gas most of the time. But they said, the people wanted me to be there. Some of the parents, because they said, the coach acted better when I was there. He didn't care so much. So he acted a lot better. We glad you passed, but he's been out of the trouble. But one of the things he said, especially on offense, you need space. Space out. Don't be bunching up. When you bunch up, if you try to shoot a shot and you expect you got one person that's defending you, when you bunch up, somebody can reach over. Yeah. Steal a ball, rock a ball, because you're so bunched up, you're so close together. Anything can happen. Amen. Because you bunched up, because you're spread out. Because when you spread out, you can find empty spaces. Set pitch, amen.
Right.
And do different things. But you can't do it when you're bunched up. Because when you're bunched up, you just make so many mistakes. So I thank God, I'm going to say the same thing.
Right.
We need some spacing.
Right.
Yeah. We need patience as we try, amen, to be offensive and change over for God and to share God's word and be in the church. We need patience. We can't just all be here. Because if y'all is thinking about one place, if something happens to that one place, then everything is shut down.
Yeah,
sure. So I need a space. If everybody in the room out of the persecution may shut it down, but if I got focus, all these different things, you can't shut it down.
Right.
It's everywhere. Some of you work good with kids. I remember when the pandemic first started, and it was with teachers. I think it was Rick. I was looking at the news. And it was a teacher, I guess it was a reading teacher, or like one of the primary teachers. And she was out, the school's kind of closed down. She done drove up in the driveway and got the kids sitting down on the ground. She was reading from her car.
Amen.
And they got their books, and she teaching from her car.
Amen.
They didn't get, because she didn't, now she would say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said they closed school down. The kids would have been, but she was flexible enough.
Right.
She saw the importance so much that she was willing to forget the old way.
That's good.
And go and pivot and go to a new way because she realized how important the teaching of the kids was.
Right.
I'm saying we got to have the same kind of energy and urgency to be the people that God wants you to make the disciples.
Amen.
Friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your family.
Mm-hmm.
Have you missed an opportunity? Mm-hmm. I want to tell you this your time. Save time. And even, not only that, even if you can't get in the backyard, now most of you kind of begin to kind of use the technology.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you, I ain't really got that technology thing down. Hey, if you ain't got that technology thing down, hey, that's what church is about. We can have a class up in the church and show you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can bring you up here, space you out.
Amen.
Yeah, five at a time, two way back about the kitchen, one in the middle, two. You ain't gonna catch nothing forward. And we can learn you how to use technology. How to get on all the squares. Zoom. If you got no Zoom, you say, I got a Zoom in my house. You got a Zoom in your house, you're not worried about it. But if you got no Zoom in your house, you got to learn how to Zoom yourself. So that's what we want to do. Or whatever you're going to use. But I'm trying to tell you, begin to pray. Begin to pray and to thank God. Help me be a quitter. I want to reach somebody for you. I know it's not all of a sudden. I know some people I'm invited to church, they don't come to church. But maybe God, if I invite them to Bible study or come down to fellowship, because it can be a fellowship. If you have a 2-hour fellowship, most of them maybe just have enjoying one another, but you can put about 15 minutes worth of instruction and word and gospel presentation in there.
Absolutely. Amen.
Because they want to come, but they enjoy the rest of it. Enjoy the fellowship of a friend. Have a book club. And then your book club, and make sure it's the right time.
God is queen. Spacey, spacey, spacey. It's always a good thing to be spacey. And if when the church, amen, uses that spacey, we see how.
You know, not only that, I'm telling you, I'm going to throw this in for free. In a sermon. When you're starting to invest your money, don't put all your money in one thing. Space it. Amen. I think the Ecclesiastes said you're going to put in the 7-8 things. The way you got mutual funds, a lot of different things in. And then you might want to put some in real estate and some in here. Because if you put all your money in one thing and that one thing fails, if you put all your money in Enron and Enron closed down, you're going man. Broke. Yeah. But if you got your money in 7, 8, 9, 10, you got some money in real estate, you got some money in NASA stock, you got some money in American stock, you got money in bonds, amen, you got money in all kinds of stuff. You done bought your little gold.
Amen. That's real.
Amen. You got money in all kinds of stuff. You got savings accounts, you got CDs, you got all kinds. Then, if something happened in one area, you still got the other areas.
Right.
I just threw that in for you.
Amen.
Spacing. God wants us to be spacing in the church. How long have you been here? Not here. How long have you been?
Yeah.
A follower of Christ.
Yeah.
If you've been a follower of Christ 3, 4, 5, 7, 18, 15, 20 years, you should be at the point now where you can point somebody.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely.
It can be one person, two persons. Just start out one or two people.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah, maybe, you know, add some more. Sometimes you want that when you start out one or two and they get good, the one or two says, hey, can we bring somebody else to the group?
Amen.
I know that guy. I know this other young lady, she wants to come to the group. Can I bring her to the group? Especially if they're people you know from the face of your struggle.
Yeah.
You used to hang out with, do the rough stuff with.
Amen.
Mess your life up with. If they're people you used to mess your life up with, now y'all can help one. God reach back to me, hey. That's why remember when a guy got the demon out of got all the demons, got the legion, and the grave got all the demons. He said, demon, we want to know what you want to get on the boat. Good, hang out with the side. He said, I'm not, I don't want you to go back. I need you to go back.
Yeah.
Go back home. Go back to the place where you got in the bed that you was in when I met you in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Go back because somebody else needs to hear what the Lord has done for you. He wants you to go back to that place.
Yeah. Amen.
No. Thank you, God. Since you're going to come, think about that. That's our next normal. So I thank God as God, I'm seeing that God said that's our next normal. Don't mean we won't be on Sunday morning, but we will have so much more going on this Sunday morning.
Amen.
And we've got so much more going on this Sunday morning, pretty soon the people in your group, your friends, your neighbors, they'll join you on Sunday morning.
Right.
God ain't blessed us like he blessed us. Just for Sunday morning.
Amen.
He blessed us to make disciples. Because God, if you read Acts, he says, he added to the church Sunday morning, he added to the church daily.
You love us every week.
can make the church great for what goes out. It's the impact they have on the community. It's the impact they have on the mind. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit living in those lives day by day basis? That's awesome. We got to get the mind where we can buy or where we can bear fruit. More fruit, much fruit.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit.
Thank you. I need 50 bucks. Again, don't forget them.
Okay.